I don't know. I've always been like super glutton for self-punishment, so that couldn't be it. Like my own worst enemy type shit. Hence comedy.
Comedy, like Mark Norman. Well,
Martin Norman.
so let me ask you this. What has been the inspiration lately for your comedy? Again, anybody just tuning in, we need somebody to interview. This is the Nitty Gritty interview show where we interview wayward stereo travelers. And anybody who's not being interviewed can load up questions, but we want them to be as absurd as possible. We want you to put people into the most conniving, tongue-twisting, mind-bending situations that they can't figure out. We want to make people uncomfortable in their decision-making skills. That's the idea. We're only playing the best comments, so put some thought into them when you send them.
Be considerately inconsiderate.
Exactly. We want to get to know people, but we want to get to know them differently than other people. We want people to leave 5 or 10 minutes of this on edge.
If you have a sexual attraction to fire hydrants, I mean, we're going to find out about it. We're going to get down to the bottom of it.
I want to know people. I want to
I
know if
want
they
to
would
get
have
to
sex with a fire hydrant. I want to know if their
right.
cousin's a fire hydrant, if they would still have sex with
If cousin is just lingo for fire hydrant, or fire hydrant is code word for cousin.
it's the worst code ever.
Right? Hey, I'm gonna go poke my fire hydrant. I think cousin sounds better.
Just imagine like a homeless dude in Huntington Beach just humping a fire hydrant. Dude, when you come out to LA, for everybody who doesn't know, this is the inaugural episode of this. Keith is from Kentucky. I'm from Massachusetts. I live in California now, SoCal. I live in Huntington Beach, about 30 miles south of LA, and I go up there all the time for comedy, for shows, everything. The homeless problem here is unprecedented, at least in America. Might as well be Hong Kong.
Yeah, really. I mean, there are whole towns full of like just homeless encampments, aren't there? I don't know
Yeah.
how we got on this subject, but damn, I mean, I have one of my jokes that says like, if you're an American veteran, you get afforded the rare opportunity to one day live under a bridge that may be posthumously dedicated to you.
Which is an exciting concept because, this apartment will not be named after me.
No, never. Unless you're like, I don't know, you come into some money, like Trumpy boy, you buy that apartment up. This is the Ober Square now.
This is Ober Square. That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. It's better than the name Kelly Square back in Worcester,
Oh,
Massachusetts.
I've never met a Kelly that I liked. Usually
That's
just
actually
garbage
kind of funny
people.
that you say that.
What, you got a Kelly story, I imagine?
Well, his last name was Kelly, but he dealt. This is how much of a douchebag that guy was. Was. Everybody grows up. But it's just the meanest thing ever. When we were little kids, maybe like 13, 14, so I guess not too little, we wanted to get fireworks for 4th of July, but we couldn't find any. So we went over to this kid's house. He said in a text message, we asked, "Hey, do you have any fireworks, dude?" And he's like, "I got things that go boom." It's like, okay, he has things that go boom. That's exciting. Dude, he gave us sparklers for like $50.
What an asshole. I mean, kids don't even like sparklers. They're just little welding rods.
Yeah, which is funny because we ended up taking those sparklers and then a few days later made a pipe bomb, which
God,
is one of the scariest and dumbest things that I've ever done in my life. So he indirectly gave us stuff that goes boom. Like you can shave off all that sparkler dust and make a frag,
oh
which
yeah, you just
is
like
insane.
compress it. I love that. I mean, that sounds like my childhood. My God, we have a lot more in common than I thought, Paul. Except I got my fireworks from the back of my barber. Like he cut hair in the front and sold fireworks out of the back. A real entrepreneur. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
What, making pipe bombs for a living for people or for children?
Mostly for children. No, just the like My childhood barber, like I had the same one for 10 years, was also my fireworks guy because he sold fireworks out the back of the barber shop. I just thought that was some awesome entrepreneurial thought.
That is kind of funny.
Shit.
Why would your barber be your fireworks guy? That's a Southern Kentucky thing. Yeah, come on in. I'll give you a haircut. Let's get rid of those eyebrows in a faster manner.
Yeah, who needs them? You know, I mean, they're pretty much just for vanity in the first place.
Listen, dude, I'll make you look good, and these will make you look like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, I'll give you a bowl cut and some bottle rockets. Here you go, boy.
Go make some mistakes. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Which is nothing.
You know, which I have incredibly low standards. Does it not show up?
Okay. So, like, this morning, like, I'm on a different fucking plane of existence right now, Keith. I'm not kidding. I woke up this morning. I made some espresso. All right? I'm an espresso boy now because I got an espresso machine. And I got to tell you, when you get that espresso machine, the finer things in life come your way, baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like it puts you in another tax bracket immediately.
Well, it's not an espresso machine. It's one of those like kettle thingies that looks like it makes Gross. Tea, but I guess it makes espresso. But I'm gonna call it my espresso machine.
You're one of the only people that I've heard say that word that says it correctly, and I want to thank you. Everybody I hear says espresso, you know, and I'm not much of a grammar Nazi. I mean, you hear the way that I sound, but Jesus. Call it the rat thing.
Dude, that's just more proof that people from New York need to just grow the fuck up.
Yeah, fuck them all. No, I think that if like a few people from the South saw what like your little espresso maker, their heads would explode or something.
Let me ask you a question.
Please.
Let me ask you, what's XXX? Just say the word, it's easier.
I've heard someone told me this, and I don't know if it's true or not, that whenever people pronounce it, like black folk pronounce ask as axe, it's because they struggle with making the sk sound. So it sounds more like ass whenever they say it versus axe. It could be bullshit, but it sounds almost valid.
I dig it. I hate it. I want to put it 6 feet under.
I love it. I fucking hate it. I want to choke it to death. Just hug it. And, you know, like a girl with any cute animal, they get that psychotic look across their face and just the light goes out of their eyes. I don't know what that is.
Keith, people know me. People know me. They know that I'm bi. But I like when I go to sports games, I'm completely straight. You know what I mean? But when there's a dog in the room, I am full gay.
And you lose your damn mind, huh? Like, whoa!
I lose my fucking mind whenever a small animal is walking by me.
You just melt into a thousand little... Well, you can't melt into little pieces. Jesus, what am I talking about? It's late in the day for me.
I want to hug it till it dies. I want to eat your face.
Right? Where does that come from? I mean, and that makes a lot of sense that they act that way and they fall asleep listening to serial killer podcasts.
That's a good point, actually. White women in their serial killer podcasts need to stop. It makes me scared.
They're learning how to get away with murder, Paul.
Like, actively. Like, for fun. Like, what's your hobby? It's like, I find out how to, you know, cut a body into pieces, put it in a backpack, and then have the whole thing put in a vat of acid and be untraceable and get away with it.
See, my girlfriend
cold cases all day and why the police can't solve crimes.
Yeah, they're like, if I were to murder somebody, I would never get caught. I've heard that so many times. Look, my girlfriend just said I wouldn't. And I believe her. She didn't even smile when she said it.
Hey, everybody in the audience right now, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is the inaugural episode of the Nitty Gritty Podcast. To be determined, we're probably going to change the name. This is episode one. But this is where we're a couple comedians, and we're going to be interviewing people with a twist.
The twist is...
We want you guys to be in on it. Every week we will be having special guests. Maybe not this week, but we're going to be interviewing Wayward Stereo Travelers. which means you guys.
Yep.
So
the cream of the crop.
If you're listening and you want to go up, if you want to be our first ever interviewee, maybe get up here for 5, maybe 10 minutes tops. Click that button. Just be part of it. We'll be as nice as possible. Just get up here. You click that button. Keith, tell me while we're waiting for somebody to develop the cojones to get up. How was your week?
Man, I don't know. I've got drunk this week more than I have in a month or months.
Like, I saw that. We were trying to plan the podcast, and I'm like, I'm going to surprise give him a phone call. And then I see you putting that beer down, and you're like, fuck it. Drink it still. I'm like, Keith, it's 1 o'clock.
Exactly. I mean, it's 3 o'clock now, so I'm working on a couple now. I don't know what's gotten into me. I don't hate it, but I don't like it either. I don't like falling asleep at 4 o'clock and waking up confused at 8. Like, what the fuck is going on? I'm a lightweight now.
I think your body is just reacting to the fact that you've been going so hard with comedy and with Clubhouse and, you know, with all of your shit. Your body's trying to redirect itself to become a day dweller again, going to sleep at 8 o'clock.
I don't know. My week has been pretty normal lately, I guess. I've been working on the camper that I've somehow manifested into my life. It looks like straight up out of Breaking Bad. So I like to call it my clandestine joke lab, but one of the posts that I put on Instagram about it, I captioned it, I am the one who knock knocks, and I just thought that was absolutely brilliant. If you've watched Breaking Bad.
You're the one who knock knocks?
Yeah. Oh, because this straight up looks like a meth lab, but I promise it isn't. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I mean, you're basically out of Breaking Bad with that RV. It's going to be hilarious when you're driving that shit across borders and they're just going to be like, we need to look through every bit of this. You're not coming into California.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? I'm just in an RV. It's like, no, it's the accent. We need to talk shit.
It's the everything. We looked at your social media. There are some total red flags here. Anything in the car we need to know about? Nope. Just a bunch of shit I hope you don't find out about. I always thought it was hilarious how cops try to get everybody to tell on themselves and how often it works.
Trying to post my story.
Oh,
so that we can get some people in here.
Oh, hell, if anything, it's just a good conversation with my buddy Pal.
Yeah, worst case scenario. All right, I posted it to my story. Hey, we need somebody to interview here. We got a couple listeners. Who are we looking at right now? I'm looking at you. Shan Shepherd. We got a super fan in the house. Let's go.
Ooh. I mean, we'd have to take those, you know, on a priority basis.
Absolutely. And we got Fasa Jake. So both of you in here right now, first of all, thank you so much for tuning into the inaugural episode of the show. You're amazing. Let's get one of you guys up here. We interview wayward stereo travelers, and we promise not to bite, but the questions might. We're getting weird, but that's the point. We're having fun with it.
You know, you would be an excellent cult leader. I could see you recruiting people right now. Like, you're good at peer pressure, a lot better at it than me.
Well, we gotta kick people's ass to get up in here. We haven't had it. We just started. We need our first ever interview for the Nitty Gritty interview show.
Yeah, hell, ask me a question.
We're gonna get in the nitty gritty with you, right up in that, in the crevasses.
Right up in there. You know, you couldn't see me shaking my fist visibly, but just so everybody knows, that's what I want them to put in their head. Like, put it in a nice way.
Also, if you guys, this is all about insane questions, okay? So if you guys got insane questions for us, feel free to leave some comments. We would love to have some comments racked up for the first interview, whoever it is. And we want you guys to be a part of it. So leave some insane questions that you would never ask somebody. Ask them here.
Yeah, like ask a redneck. That's, I mean, it's a free pass.
Ask Redneck anything. Yeah, this is basically an AMA for that side of the world that you might not have ever appreciated, called Cincinnati or Kentucky.
I've never heard the term hillbilly tossed around.
Okay, I'm going to, because I can't invite her, Cheyenne Shepherd, do you want to get in? Fast and Jake, do you want to get in? Huh?
Anybody? Come on. I'll talk and, oh no. Yeah, Cheyenne's super, super duper shy. I mean, she knows everything about me. I can't really have her on here with that much power.
You're saying you could ask her the wrong question and it could just go south for you. Straight back to jail. Straight to prison. Yeah. Get.
Yeah,
do not collect $200. No trial.
My whole white privilege card revoked. I cannot have that.
It's an important card to keep.
And, you know, right next to my NRA card and my EBT card.
Is your invitation to the barbecue card?
Gotta have those food stamps, baby.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
I'm blowing my nose.
Wow. Sounds just like a regular person blowing their nose.
Yeah, you would never assume that that was a gay person's nose.
Right. I mean, it sounded exactly normal to me.
It's almost... All that gay nose sex just hasn't affected anything yet. It hasn't caved in. Ooh. Hasn't loosened up too much. I'm still young and malleable, baby.
Right. I mean, that deviated septum doesn't even start to happen until you're like in your early 40s, taking dicks to the nose, right?
Exactly.
I don't know why my mind works this way.
And by the way, everybody listening, something that does help the show, not just the claps help a ton, obviously with the algorithm, but the number one thing that helps is if you click that share button and you click copy link. If you can send it to a couple people, you got a couple comedians up here, we're trying our best, hit either of those things. You don't even have to actually share it anywhere. Just click copy link. Hit the claps. Helps a ton. It helps the algorithm help people find us when they're swiping. You never know. It's huge help.
Yeah, just hit that share button. Not directing Cheyenne to do anything here. But just hit that share button, baby.
Kay Chow, welcome to the show. This is the Nitty Gritty interview show. If you want to be the first ever interviewee, hit that plus button on the screen. We'd love to have you.
I mean, we'll make it fun for you.
We'll try.
Oh, I can't help but to. I'll make an ass of myself.
Yeah, we're doing that on our own anyways.
I mean, what kind of looks have you gotten? Like, oh, we got us a message.
Let's play.
I'm about to sit down for dinner, and I don't think my wife would approve. Maybe another time.
Sounds good, KJ. No problem.
No problem, bro. I mean, I understand how that stuff with women goes. Ain't that right, honey?
You know, actually, this is an awesome opportunity for you guys to grow closer together. I mean, what do we do when we eat dinner? We stare at each other. We kick each other under the table. We use violence on our parents, siblings, significant others. We commit domestic violence. We get divorces over dinner. But this is an opportunity for you to be part of something bigger. The cult of the Nitty Gritty interview show. If you go on, invite your wife on too. Be part of something.
You can,
this should be your dinner
activity. Really find out a lot about each other. You know, you can ask any questions. And what better place to be put on the spot than with two strangers?
What? When was the last time you went on a date?
Oh,
probably
shit.
Never. Never a date as good as being on this show.
No. Cheyenne and my first date was, I took her to a surprise intervention. She didn't even know that that's what we were doing until halfway there.
There you go.
That is a hell of a first date.
There's nothing more romantic than Stockholm Syndrome.
Right, Stockholmies.
Keith kidnapped his girlfriend, and they're going strong for years now. What's
it's
your
a funny It's a funny thing. She thinks she wants to be here. Nope, I'm just really persuasive.
Hey, welcome Frankie, Nolt, and Yawa. This is the inaugural episode. We only got four listeners. You guys are amazing for being here. This is the nitty-gritty interview show. We want to get to the nitty-gritty about wayward stereo travelers like yourself. If you guys want to be the first ever interviewee on the show, click the plus sign right now, and we'd love to have you.
Love it. More than anything, it would be my birthday present. Today's my birthday.
Today's Keith's birthday.
It's not, but if it makes you more comfortable to come up. Oh, shit. Sorry. It's my birthday.
Up, it's your fucking birthday.
Every day is my birthday, and Paul says it is.
It's
every day is Christmas.
Go do the dishes. It's your birthday. From now on.
I got you this dishwasher for your birthday, because I know you like it. And here's this broom, too. Don't forget to get the corners.
Don't you forget the corners of the bacon sheet like last time. I don't want this shit seasoned.
Well, have you seen the Wild Wonderful Whites of West Virginia? Where a man
what
threatens...
What is that?
Oh, it is a documentary on a family from the next state over, West Virginia. And it is just utter lunacy the entire time. They're just inbred folk, real outlaw, like bottom of the totem pole type people. Real garbage, you know?
And my people.
Our people, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like if a Bostonian and a redneck had a baby, it's like just those people. It's halfway there. But there's a guy on there, his name's Jesco White, and he is otherwise known as the Dancing Outlaw. And his favorite things to do, apparently, is huffing gas. Yeah, huffing gas. I love the way he pronounces it. It's gas. And apparently...
It's his gas.
Yeah, it's like, I'm huffing that gas. I'm like, my God. I want to be the film crew sometimes for, like, the shit that they, like, caught on there. Like, they got, like, pill cells, making moonshine, just family. It's real, real roller coaster of, like, white trash drama.
The families who moonshine together stay together.
They do. They got those third generation recipes. They really hold a family together. I mean, because they'll kill you if you kill anybody.
Family who has sex together stays together.
You know, the closer the kin, that is one of the colloquialisms around here that I'm real fond of. The closer the kin, the deeper in. It's horrifying to say, but it exists.
Yep. What was it? Larry the Cable Guy or something? Or Ron White, who said Southern family get-togethers, it's just a blind dating app?
Yeah, I think that was Ron. He's my favorite one out of the Blue Collar Tour. Like, I get Foxworthy, like, he's a good, great businessman, but Larry the Cable Guy, good businessman. Just this, I don't like characters, you know?
I get that. Larry kind of acts like a character. Ron White, although Ron White is a character in and of itself. He has a very specific niche that he fills, and there's no way that he's 100% like that. You know, he talks about the alcoholism and stuff and being like a wreck of a human being, and it's funny. But, everybody on stage has, like, a little bit of a persona. There's no way he's, like, that bad.
Well, I don't know. Kinnison was pretty much the embodiment of Kinnison.
His hair looks like it wouldn't pass a drug test for 30 years.
His hair looks like what I imagine, like, if you could, like, picture domestic violence to be. Like, that's just what his hair looks like to me.
Him? He looks like a sad drunk. He doesn't look like an angry drunk.
He looks like a garbage pill kid grew up.
He looks like if a boxcar kid made it out.
Yeah, and like made it to the lower middle class.
Congratulations, Ron White. You get a bus.
You paid taxes this year. Good for you.
Congratulations, Ron. You made enough money to forget to pay taxes this year.
I know people that have got jobs in their adult lives and didn't know what tax returns were, like in their mid-20s.
No offense to the accent, but Keith, you do sound like you have friends who would make that mistake.
Oh, you think I pay taxes? No, that's for suckers.
Yeah, but we know that you're actually like low key, like sort of genius level. Like you keep it on the DL, but I'm saying like Kentucky is
Oh.
definitely the place where they're like, no taxes, no peace.
You know that we have what we like to refer to as Kentucky artists around here because they like to sit home and draw checks instead of, otherwise, being, asset to any part of the community whatsoever.
The liquidity pools are just when everybody sticks enough ones inside into a stripper's panties.
We have a bar, a bar, yes, singular, and it's the next town over, and it's called the Coyote Den, aptly fucking named. It were like the Cougar Dive or something, but I guess that's why I call just start calling like ugly, toothless, aggressively, like women who come on aggressively to you as cougars or as shit. What was it? Yeah, cougars. Not fuck me. I forgot the story now.
Is it called the Cougar Den or the Coyote Den?
The Coyote Den. There we go. I think they were trying to play off Coyote Ugly. It did not work out for them.
That's kind of funny. You know what's horrible? The only strip club that I've ever been to, I've only ever been to one. It was in Kentucky. When I was in
Oh, was it?
Cincinnati and I'm single, I went out
Oh my God,
and
what's
had
the
a
name
few
of
too many
it?
drinks with one of my coworkers, and he's like, we're going to a strip club. And I'm like,
It
I've
was.
never been to one. I don't even like them. I'm not going. So we had a few more drinks on top of the already excessive amounts that we did. And then I pipe up. I'm like, fuck it. There's a first time for everything. No, there's not. There's never a first time for Kentucky strip clubs.
Nope, especially if you go on a Tuesday. Nope,
It's
you see
any
like.
day.
Did you go to Southern Exposure?
I don't know what the name of it was. It was close to Cincinnati. It wasn't a far drive. It was just over the bridge into Kentucky, maybe like 10, 5 minutes.
Dude, I got my favorite shitty tattoo right there. The one that put me into the Mexican gang that I didn't know about for years.
Everything within a 50-mile radius of Cincinnati is a mistake.
I mean, you don't put sin in the name of your town for no reason. We see what you did there.
If your
And
people call your city the nasty and put it on t-shirts and wear it proudly, you got a problem.
if Jerry Springer has ever been your mayor, or you have ever considered electing Jerry Springer as your mayor, you can go fuck yourself.
If one of Mark Twain's most famous quotes is saying that your city is 10 years behind the rest of the country, you got a problem.
Oh, that's hilarious. And there's like racial slurs all through, like in front of and behind that quote, and it still holds true to your city.
If you're known as the city, if you're known as the city where slaves regretted fleeing to, you got a problem.
Oh God, that's fucking horrible. Like, oh, can we go back, please? We didn't know it was like this here. Can you believe that? Like Jerry Springer, an actual mayor of a city.
He'd be great. He wouldn't take no
No,
shit.
he
But
did. I mean, he
he would be
was the
just as good
mayor.
as Menino.
Hold up. Do you not know this? That he was the mayor?
Of what?
Cincinnati, I'm pretty
Wait,
sure.
no. No, you're fucking with me. There's
I'm
no way he was.
no, I'm on this right now.
I don't. That's the first question. Hey, by the way, everybody just tuning in. We hope that you guys are having fun. This is the Nitty Gritty interview show. So me and Keith are going to bullshit until we get somebody in this interview spot. So we want one of you four to request that interview spot. We interview wayward stereo travelers like yourselves. And we need somebody to request. And you'll be the first one ever. This is the first inaugural episode. We
Fuck
broke our
that,
record
Jerry.
today of four listeners with four listeners.
Oh, we had up to seven at one time, and I was exactly right. Jerry Springer was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Jerry Springer, mayor. He served as mayor of Cincinnati from 1977 to 1978. Wow.
I mean, come on. I might sound like an idiot, but I'm full of these little cultural, like, tidbits of knowledge.
What a life this man has lived.
He's done it all. He's the most interesting man in the world, but he's
Jerry
real.
Jerry Springer went from political activist to mayor to making it his life's work to tear families apart for decades.
You know, he's really doing the world a favor. Some of those families don't need to be together, but that's hilarious. That's really taking life by the horns.
Oh my god, Jerry fucking Springer. That's cool. I'm happy now you have learned that.
Yeah, now you have to live with that. Just like, you know, Tom Segura has that Steven Seagal joke. Like, you know, if you commit a crime in New Orleans, there's a real life chance that you can be arrested by Steven Seagal.
That's epic. I want to be arrested by Steven Seagal.
Oh god, not me. No, that man is off-putting.
I feel like he would, like, be like the dog, though, except, like, instead of a cigarette, you'd, like, try and put a grenade in your mouth.
Here, take this. Take it. Yeah. I'm an expert.
Go with God. You pray to Jesus?
Did you pray today? In your mouth. Yeah, it's hard to scream with a grenade in your mouth. Calm down.
Calm down. You're going to get a second chance. Or not. There's a grenade in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, what, close and horseshoes and hand grenades. I mean, it's not really close. It takes the closeness out of it, the things in your mouth. I don't think a person could hold a grenade. Nope, never mind. I meant somebody probably could.
I think I'm going to, Keith, should we ask each other questions before we get some brave soul who will be eternally remembered as the first ever interview on the Nitty Gritty Show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Should we just ask each other some weird fucking questions so that people know what they're getting into?
I'm an open book. I think that's a great idea. Soften it up a bit.
Well, speaking of softening up a bit, can I ask you the first ever question?
Oh, God. This is erectile dysfunction. Yes, let's go.
At gunpoint, you are told that you must have sex with a fruit. Which fruit is it?
Watermelon.
Well, fucking watermelon. Okay.
Yep. Or cantaloupe.
No, you said no. No, cantaloupe would actually make sense. Watermelon sounds like you're going to cut your penis up. Why would you say watermelon instant? You're like, yep, the most difficult, the hardest exterior fruit.
Man, I mean, you gotta really want in there. Yeah, maybe said at least I didn't say pineapple.
Pineapple would have been funny. Cantaloupe would have made sense. You said watermelon.
Oh, I mean, you didn't tell me I couldn't cut a hole in it first. You didn't say I had to fuck my way inside.
Sure,
that thing's a whole different.
You can cut a hole in it, but it's rough. It's hard as shit on the exterior. You gotta, like, sand it down.
It's like a vagina. Duh. I mean, I've had sex a couple times. I know what they're like. They're always rough. You gotta sand them down a little bit. Or is this new? Is this just particular to me? Come with a couple past relationships on them.
All right, Keith, at gunpoint, you have to have sex with a fruit. Keith would do watermelon. Great. We know now. Anybody who wants to be interviewed for the Nitty Gritty, we go in the Nitty Gritty where everybody forgets to go in these interviews. We need one of you guys to request to come up. We're going to ask you weird questions. Keith, ask me one.
Okay. Have you ever sent a dick pic confidently?
Yes.
I like that. That was a quick answer. That's some confidence right there. I feel it.
Look, we've all been in college and thought our dick was better than it is.
I've never looked at mine and been like, yeah, everybody needs to see this, though.
Okay, well, everybody, like, calm down. I wasn't throwing it on the internet.
Look at my cock.
I'm not internet confident in my dick. by any means. I am individual situationally confident.
Like, agreed upon circumstances. And
that was the reason I only dated short girls for the longest time. I'm like, just frame of reference.
Right? Those little hands. Like, here, you hold it for me. I'll take the picture.
Oh, man. I actually I have a set, and it has a twist at the end, so I won't tell you where it goes, but the entire point of the set is just introducing it. I asked the crowd, how many of the guys here, when you look down at your penis, you're like, that's fine. That's perfect. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody thinks their dick is perfect.
No, but there are some people that are cocksure. They're fine with it, you know, and those are the people that don't eat pussy.
There's people who are content. That's totally fine, but nobody's looking down at their dick being like, I am proud of that. I bet you there's 10 men in the entire world. And not a single one of them is American. This is perfect. I wouldn't change a thing.
You know, I don't know. I've looked at mine before and not been disappointed.
Do you see how, like, any good thing you can say about your dick, though, is always accompanied by, like, a little bit of self-hatred, a little bit of doubt? Like, I've looked at my dick before and thought, oh, it's okay. Yeah, no, that's the point. Everybody would change their dick a little bit if they could.
Just a little off the top, you know? It's like, we want a foreskin, not a five skin.
Jesus Christ.
Just a little bit much there, ain't it? Looked like Squidward's nose.
All right, I got another question for you. Everybody tuning in, this is the Nitty Gritty Interview Show. We want to interview one of you, one of the listeners. But we need you guys to request. Everybody's been a wimp so far. We got five of you. We want one of you guys to come up. We want to ask you some weird, freaky-deaky questions. We need somebody with the cojones, with the lady balls.
Lady testicles, yes, the breasticles. Well, come on, hit me with a hard one.
I mean, I could always ask you if cereal is a soup. That's actually the hardest question ever.
Fuck. Yeah, it is kind of. It's a breakfast soup. Definitely.
Is it, or is it its own thing?
It is a solution. Let's see. I'd have to go with, yeah, cereal soup. Cereal's definitely soup. I mean, because
cereal sounds like a soup. The milk is the broth, and the Lucky Charms is the chicken.
Exactly. I mean, you know, same formula, different ingredients.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't argue the logic there. And I love arguing logic.
I think the most soupy cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch for the sole reason that when you're done with it, you have a flavored broth.
Oh, okay. If we're going by most flavorful broths, yeah, you're probably right on that. But as far as soupy and nasty goes, gotta go Fruity Pebbles or Cocoa Crunch. One of the two. You're just left with a soggy mess afterwards, unless you eat them like a child.
If you eat them like a child, that's a good point. The only way to eat cereal is to pour the cereal first. And then when you're pouring the milk, you pour the milk perfectly over every single millimeter.
Yes, thank you. That is cerealing like an adult. There's one of these madmen running around here that puts, like, the milk in first. I mean, God, talk about people that need to be put down.
Let me ask you, I got a new question for you. You ready for this?
Absolutely.
What would a homeless person have to do for you to hook up with them?
How homeless?
When I say homeless, dude, I am talking tent.
Aggressively homeless?
I'm saying aggressively homeless. Like, you go to 7-Eleven and you're like, I'm going to a different 7-Eleven to roll the dice on that homeless person.
Oh.
What would it take?
You
can't say that you would never. I'm saying, what would it take?
You know, it's crazy. You show me a little basic human decency, and there's not much I probably wouldn't fuck.
Okay, so what does that look like?
A nice hello, a little glint in their eye. You know,
no, that's the meth. That's the meth. So they all have the glint.
Yeah, that's the crate. That's the tweaker vision. Sorry. Yeah, because sometimes they're hard to confuse. I mean, they're hard to tell apart. Money.
Sparkle in their eye. It's like, no, that's the liver disease.
Yep, that's the liver failure. You see that nice yellowish hue that their skin has? That's them slowly dying. So it's going to take some money for me. Definite money. And a doctor's visit afterwards. I got to have all this in writing. No one can ever know. Obviously, we killed him afterwards, right?
Wait, would you kill who?
So obviously, we killed him afterwards, right? Because I can't have witnesses.
Okay, so let me get this straight. For you to have sex with a homeless person, like an aggressively homeless person, it would take for them to say hello to you, have a sparkle in their eye from jaundice, and you get to kill them after. That's the most fucked up answer, Keith.
I mean, you asked. You knew what we were getting into.
And if they could, you sound like Jim Jeffries. Like he has sex with a woman. They get married. They have sex. They have a child. And then if she could die, that would get him out of a bind because he really wants to be a dad, but he doesn't want to be married.
Yeah, and also, no one that has seen his dick should be able to live and tell the tale after.
Not the way he talks about it.
Oh,
the way
man,
he talks about his dick, I wouldn't be surprised if his dick did cocaine off of a toilet seat.
That's a real sheenist. It's like, if you have a girl do a line of blow off of your heart on, that's called a sheenist. And I think that's an amazing contribution to culture by Charlie Sheen.
Sheen is a tour de force.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if we want to bring a positive aspect to this or, you know, talk about something positive, we can always talk about Charlie.
Well, all I know is that I'm going to meet Jim Jeffries one day, and I'm going to be like, I am your number one fan. This is insane. Or, you know, maybe I'm not your number one fan. I'm a huge fan, Jim. This is awesome, getting to meet you for the first time. And then
can I call you Jim?
No, I heard that podcast. You think my dick did cocaine? You made fun of my penis more than me.
It's like, yeah, it's okay for me to make fun of it.
Yeah. I would be like, Keith started it. He's like, no, he didn't. No, you brought my name up.
Yeah, my dick sense was tingling.
You're on my mind, Jim.
He's like, I don't know. My dick sense started tingling. I downloaded this app and heard you guys talking about my dick. Now I'm here to settle the score, Paul. I mean, what up? That would be the most amazing way to meet Jim Jeffries, is just shit talking his dick.
Oh, you're talking about my dick.
Fuck off, Kevin. It's a cunt free zone, mate.
Fucking cunt.
Oh no, God's here.
Hello, God. How are you going?
I love that fucking bit. That is one of the most amazing bits that I've heard in the past 10 years of comedy. God drunk at a party.
The God at a party bit is one of the best stand-up comedy bits. It really is. God would be the least wanted person at a party of all time.
Just sing a fucking song about me. What's the big fucking deal?
Everybody stop singing. Who's that man in the back that's enjoying singing too much?
Oh, that's Brian.
Oh, that's Brian and his boyfriend.
That part absolutely murders me.
But God, I thought you said that you love everybody. Not faggots, I didn't.
I was pretty specific in it.
I was very clear in the about book that for in fuck's my sake. Book. I hate faggots, and I also hate shrimp. Weird because I mentioned that 12 times in the book, and I only mentioned hating gay people about twice. But, you know, people seem to really like shrimp, so I kind of gave it to them.
I love it. Dude. Like, you know, if you can sing songs about me, you know... Well, if you don't sing songs about me, you won't burn in hell, but, you know, it'll go a long fucking way if you catch my gist.
He so aggressively hated religion in his first couple specials. It was amazing.
Oh, I know. I mean, even, like, his positions on gun control, like, that bit, like, I loved that, too. Oscar Pistorius, the legless runner. He's a personal hero of mine. He killed the hottest woman in the world. He had to shoot her through a door because he's the one man on earth that couldn't kick the door down.
What?
Yep. I can't remember what special that's on. It's on what it might be Alcoholicost, which is a great name for a special. We're talking
Alcoholicost is one of the better specials ever, I think. It's in my top three, but again, I'm notoriously, I love Jim Jeffries' comedy, but, all right, I got a new one, I got another, wait, it's your turn, you gotta ask.
All right, do you remember learning how to jerk off?
Yeah, which is a memory I haven't thought of in a long time. Somebody asked me, do I remember the first time I jacked off, and I don't. But I do remember learning how to do it, which is weird.
Right? It's like it's innate in us. It's crazy. I would barnacle up to the sides of the jacuzzi, like on the jets, just like a little devious, I don't know, barnacle. I already said it. And I didn't know that, you know, that's what I was doing. But by God, I learned.
That's hilarious, actually. I think I did the thing where it's like you hump a pillow. You know,
it's just
that, like, that nobody's teaching you anything, but it's just that like sort of primal thing where your body knows, like, okay, I think I do this, and it's rubbing against something, and that feels nice.
That feels nice. I'm going to keep this going for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I think I'll do this every day for 3,000 days.
for the rest of the foreseeable days, at least once. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, that's one of the, like, a bit that I'm wanting to go into is, like, asking, like, the crowd, like, how many of the guys actually remember, like, learning how to jerk off, and then be like, to those of you that do, and it's weird, I'm sorry, but for the rest of us normal guys, most of us don't.
I think, yeah, I feel like it would be normal to not remember how that worked. I think you got to have a really good memory, or you got to remember it for some weird reason.
Trauma, yep. Oh, got this another question.
Oh, well, for before we play this real quick, everybody just tuning in, this is the Nitty Gritty Interview Show. We need one of you guys to be the person we interview. We need you to step up to the plate here. Been live for like 30 minutes. This is the inaugural episode. You'll be the first person that we ever interview on the show.
Oh, Darcia is asking to be approved as a co-host. Well, welcome.
Oh, we got one.
There we go. I caught one.
You guys asked for somebody to interview, so I thought, why not pop in here?
You are awesome. I feel like I manifested you with my mind.
How are you guys?
First of all, Darcy, I love your headband. How gay are
Thank
you?
Thank you. Huh?
How gay are you?
Oh, honestly, I'm not. I have nothing against any sexuality, but I'm not.
That's not
I just really liked the headband.
It's a real focal point. I love it. You can see my avatar. It looks like I sell cocaine.
You kind of do. Honestly, you look like you might have a liver problem. Like, your face is like this weird, like, it's like
jaundice.
Tannish yellowish.
Yeah, a little
hey,
jaundice.
At least you went for you. I'm surprised you didn't take the opportunity to say that I absolutely look like a Nazi. Hey, Darcy, what is your favorite type of cheese and why?
It's not American.
Ooh.
Racist, okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm American. I just don't think America's that great. But probably Swiss cheese.
One of them
self-hating
cheese enthusiasts.
Oh, she's neutral. She's Swiss. She chose the Swiss cheese.
Oh, okay. Swiss cheese. It's got holes in it. It's the sexiest of cheeses. Okay. Okay.
Dark yeah, Swiss exactly. Cheese.
Is it or is Asiago the sexiest cheese? Because that's just fun to say.
Asiago does smell like vagina. That's a good point.
Does it? Interesting.
Yeah, please tell me more. Now, back to Darcy. Okay, what is the weirdest way a man has ever, like, tried to take you on a date or pick you up? What's the worst pickup line you've ever heard?
Oh, worst pickup line? I can't remember. The last date I was on was, like, a while ago. I can't really remember a bad pickup line. But a bad date? One time, I hit up this guy, and he was coming to pick me up. And I get in the car, and he, like, screams. He's like, "Hi!" I was like, "What's up, Chris?" And he was like, "Let's go for a drive!" And we went for a drive. He was drunk as fuck. I had no idea.
Oh, that's awful. Just imagine.
Yo, he was so drunk.
And already hammered.
Oh my god, completely hammered. And then, like, he's driving around, like, 80 miles per hour. I'm like, this is just not good.
Like, no,
so what you're saying
nothing
is the
legal.
Sex was amazing, though.
Had to be.
Actually, the sex, it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't know. It just, we didn't click like that. But then, you know, I found somebody else.
Joe, that didn't show up drunk as fuck to pick you up.
Exactly.
I think
it's
that's
like that. It's moments like that when you realize, like, you know what? Maybe I should lower my standards.
You can lower your expectations.
Whoever you dated after the dude showed up to you completely hammered, the sex wasn't good. The dude that you met after that must have seemed like Jesus himself. And he was like a gas station worker who knows whatever it was better than the last guy.
The guy introduced me to the homeless lady.
The hammered dude had the luckiest date night of his life because your standards had been dropped so low.
It's amazing what one encounter with somebody can do.
Yeah, I did. I did have a good date with the guy after him.
What is a good date?
Honestly, well, okay, for like the first or second dates, like maybe even third, I do like want to go out. After that, let's chill. Like,
yeah, Netflix and chill.
Like, if I trust the person, then I'm like, all right, come over to my house. I'll come over to your house. Like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to spend money. I don't want to go through the effort to look presentable into public. Like,
you just want to be your own absolute mess around with somebody and be comfortable with it.
You get it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And somebody I can be silent with and not feel weird.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I see you.
It's somebody that I can drink with. I can smoke some weed with. Somebody that we can go to, like, you know, a sports game with. Somebody who can hang out with me and my friends. That's important. If you can't hang with my friends, then I feel like you can't hang out with me.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah.
That was a big deal out trying to get a boyfriend, you know, on Grindr. I'm like, I need somebody who can do these things, play video games with, like,
be a dude,
because I don't really fit in with the rest of the LGBTQ community. Like the gay area of Los Angeles, like, it's not my idea of, like, a good time. I'll do it. I love going to drag shows live. That's fun as shit. But apart from that, I don't really fit in.
I've been to a gay bar before. That was a hell of a time.
Gay bars are fun when you're single. When you're in a relationship, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I would guess
even
so.
When you're single, it's like gay bar. I can only imagine what it's like being a chick going to a bar and how rapey the vibe can be. Because me going to a gay bar, my goodness, it's the rapiest place on earth.
Predators everywhere.
Well, the difference between that is, like, when if I were to go to a bar, like, I'm not. It's not just men. But, like, if you think about it, when you walk into a gay bar, it's just, like, all men.
See,
you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying anything wrong, but I'm just saying, like, I'm more likely, like, a man in a bar is more likely to give off a rapey vibe towards me than a woman.
Oh,
and so when, yeah, and so like when there's women and men, the rapey vibe isn't as prominent.
Strength in numbers, you know?
Yeah. This is an insane conversation. I love it. Hey, Darcy, we got the next question for you. What is the scariest thing that has ever happened to you?
Honestly, I just got over. I like literally am recovering from being really sick, and like I thought I was gonna like croak.
Jesus, did you have COVID?
What?
I was, so they think it's fucking COVID that might have gotten me and just like attacked my immune and nervous systems. And I was like unable to eat for months.
Oh shit. It's horrible.
Like I threw everything up. It was just bad. I mean, I'm recovering now, but yeah, I'd say that's the scariest thing that happened to me.
We okay. just so happened to, we just had to hash that up like right after it happened. Huh? I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I mean, I'm still recovering, so it's not like it's not on my mind and then you bring it up. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Paul, I think we got some. Well, Darcy's one of the questions. Oh, I see what one of the questions is. Yeah, but that's an aggressive move, sir, Osman. Here, let me play that.
Oh, what? You're looking at the people?
Yeah, I got the question pulled up here.
Do you want to suck my dick? Do you want to?
I can't.
No, I do not.
You could what? Oh, fuck that. I mean, that's fun.
None of us do, no. Almond. You sound like a child. So,
yeah,
we're
good.
Like, yeah. How dare,
you have three mouths that are going elsewhere.
Oh my, I thought you were going to say everybody has three mouths.
Kind We've of. Actually been over this. Keith would rather have sex with a watermelon than do anything with that guy.
Oh, or the homeless person.
Or the aggressively
homeless person.
But bold sort of decision.
It is.
Not so attack Keith right now, but Darcy, the question that was given Keith, we're the host of the show. We were interviewing each other before you got on. The first question was, if somebody's got a gun to your head and you have to have sex with a fruit, what fruit is it? He instantly says watermelon. That's got to be the fucking weirdest answer, right?
I don't see it.
How big is your fucking dick, dude? Like, I mean,
well, I mean, I said I'll look down at it and before, and was like, okay, well, I can live with this. I wasn't like, oh no, but he didn't tell me I had to fuck my way into the fruit.
He's jamming his dick,
but
that's the hardest.
So, are you making
an apple?
Let me ask you, like, are you making a hole in the watermelon? Are you cutting it open? Like, what's going on here?
That's what I'm
Even
thinking.
If he's got
like,
rough edges to deal with. You got to, like, sand down the edges.
Yeah,
well,
you
not
think
sanding them down. I'm just, like, I'm just trying to picture what part of the watermelon would you penetrate? Because, like,
yes.
The other, you know what I mean? Because you'd have
yes.
to, like, make a round, like, something that has all the sides to it, something you can enter fully. And so, like,
I'm a square dick man myself. Don't assume this like the geometric shape.
You're right. Square. You're right. I respect that.
Triangle dick man myself.
I love that. But
I love that vision that you just gave us through the app with your beautiful words.
What fuck? I mean, what fruit would you fuck, Paul?
Me? Okay, so yeah. I would probably do banana.
What? Like
how? The banana would fuck you.
The logistics.
Okay, if we're going gay,
Darcy, that's
cucumber
a great
is
point.
Obviously the way to go. But if we're going straight, banana, 100%.
Are you going to wear the peel like a condom?
Yeah, this is so simple. Like I haven't even thought about this that long. But it's dick shaped.
It's pretty
the most amount of effort you got to do is hollow it out. And if you not, it's it. A soft interior. It's a soft exterior. You just peel it a bit. Boom, you're good.
Wouldn't it? Damn. But let me ask you this. I think it's too soft to actually even get in your asshole.
Okay, true. So gay-wise.
I think it would squish. I think it would squish up against your asshole.
You never met
Darcy,
a good
you
real...
You are
real...
not anally experienced.
Okay. I am anally experienced.
Next question. How did that go?
My anal experience?
How was it presented?
Which
like,
one?
How did somebody just ask? Like, can I fuck you in the ass? Or was it more like, oh, I'm going to kind of play around it here and see how she gauges this and go for a minute? Or was it just like, yeah, straight up?
Well, I mean, the guy, he just kind of like said it one day and I was like, yeah, someday. And then we did one day. I've only done it like twice with one guy, but I'm going to do it soon with another one. But I mean, I have a double kill though.
Another guy. Are you planning it, or is it because you like wanted to do it again, or is it like, you know, every year on July 10th, 15th, I do anal now.
This is anal day.
It's actually June 10th. Is the date? No, I'm kidding.
Ooh, coming up.
No, it's just been like thrown around between us, like the idea of it. So one day it'll happen.
Yeah,
whenever I feel like it.
Whenever you kind of entertain a guy on that idea, like, that's all that their mind goes to. I don't know why. It's not the most, like, not the most hospitable territory for a person.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Territory. I don't understand, like, how some guy can look at me and be like, hey, like, it's okay if I'm in your poop hole.
Right. It's I think it's because
like you want my shit, I'll give you plenty of shit.
I think that it's because we know you don't want it and we're like, let's see how much she loves me.
I mean,
it's really just a test. Like, women play games and men, if you don't, you know, do you love me or not? All right, anal.
Yeah, we go for anal.
Yo, love does not equal anal. Let's get that straight right now.
Yes, it does. That's actually the equation.
Yep,
oh my god. I love you. I'll do anal sex with you. That'll prove my love.
You figured it out.
Well, I mean, you don't do it with somebody you hate.
Well, I mean, that's very true. You do have to legitimately, like, really be comfortable and appreciate and like the person. But, hey, that doesn't mean that anal equals love, okay? Let's get that straight here.
Well, same four-letter word. It super duper sounds like love to me. I'd have to fucking love somebody to let them like get anywhere near my ass.
This actually leads into my next question that I was going to say, which is like, in your daily life, what is something that you do that if it were a sport, you would be the Michael Jordan of? And
masturbation.
So anyways, what's yours, Darcy?
Oh, the procrastination. I mean,
masturbation.
You would be the Michael Jordan of masturbation.
I'll tell you. Okay, yeah. Here's an example of my masturbation extent.
This is exactly what
home,
I want.
Right. And I like have my laptops on like my coffee table, and I sit on my couch all day. There have been several times when I've masturbated during work.
Oh, you're getting off on the clock. I love it.
We've all done it.
I'm getting paid to get off.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
Actually, that's called unemployment.
I just imagine you being a telemarketer, just like finger banging one out to like a sales call. Like somebody's cussing at you and that's your thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's fucked up?
You want this back, you? Do you want this Dyson? Yes. You want this Dyson? Yes.
So let's be honest. She likes it when people yell at her.
No. Hey, let me tell you what I do for work. This makes it more fucked up. I host virtual court dates.
Oh my god.
So also, I'm like listening to the arraignments and like
he's going away for life.
Listening to these criminals, and I'm just going at it.
I'm so inspired right now.
You're just inspired. I'm glad. That's my goal. I want to inspire you with my masturbation.
That is some beautiful. People are pros.
You're like the Martin Luther King of masturbation.
the Rosa Parks of knuckle spelunking.
You're the Barack Obama.
I am the Barack Obama of masturbation. Thank you.
Put that in your profile. I want to see it right now.
All right, here I go.
She's the best.
Like
best
interview ever. By the way,
I just don't.
Seven listeners right now. Just letting you guys know the rules. This is the Nitty Gritty interview show. Darcy is actually going to go down in history as the first ever Nitty Gritty interview. Me and Keith interview people. We need you guys' help. We ask fucked up questions. We get some funny conversations, but we want you to submit your questions too. So if you have any questions for Darcy, like how gay she is, she says no, but she's got the thing on. Is she an ally or experimental? She's done anal.
Yo, look at my profile.
All right, I'm looking at it.
Oh, what if it's got all of that in it? I'm right.
The Barack Obama of masturbation. I'm screenshotting that. That's going to go on the Instagram.
Come the follow the fucking found. Barack. And I love that I'm white, too, in my profile.
Black Obama.
Oh, my God. Beautiful. I fucking love it.
Well, being the Barack Obama of something, it's actually kind of racist that people would assume that you're the black person of something. Barack Obama wasn't just a black guy. He was many things.
No, I know, but it's like people are going to be like, what the fuck? What's her excuse for calling herself the Barack Obama? But I love it. And the mystery is what will attract people. I will get follows. Thank you to you and your great ideas.
You're welcome.
Great branding. I mean, that's groundbreaking shit. I mean, the Barack Obama of masturbation, like the hero of knuckle spelunking, the finger blaster, like, wow. The things that can happen on a show. I think I'm like a long lifelong friend now.
How do you vaginal?
I know, seriously.
Barack Obama Lee.
Obanal. Huh?
How do you vaginally spelunk Barack Obama Lee?
With a double dildo.
She drops bombs on Syria while she's masturbating.
No, the double dildo.
Oh, well, yeah, fucking everybody in both holes. Yeah. That's right in line with it.
I've never done.
And I can do it quick, and I can do it at different times and multitask different ways. I can masturbate like nobody's fucking business.
Well, I don't know. I could have fit three sessions into that last sentence that you just said.
I mean,
that's pretty pro level. I call it like I waste time by masturbating. I call it procrastination.
Hey, we got the puns in the house now, baby. Everybody duck and cover. We're going to Barack Obama the fuck out of that village with puns. Let's go, baby.
I love that like so that. Much.
That's it's a great way to...
I like Barack Obama a lot for like the social issues and stuff. And you know, I'm a liberal-leaning centrist person. Doesn't fucking matter. But nobody knows how many people Barack Obama killed. He killed so many people, dude. He killed so many people. There's
wearing sunglasses.
Up entire villages of,
wearing
like,
sunglasses.
People to kill two terrorists one time. It's like, what?
Like, what is collateral damage? I mean, you know, whenever you got like fucking Joe Biden running around behind you like a little lap dog, it was hilarious to watch, but terrifying.
I know. I feel like Joe Biden.
Humanitarian.
I feel like he was like the little border collie that just nipped at Obama's heels.
It's kind of like the little fish that swim along a shark's belly just eating the little leftovers.
It's exactly. Like Barack Obama's like, should I bomb this village to kill these two people? And he's like, Biden's like, yes. He's like, but I'm going to kill a lot of innocent people. And Joe's like, nah, you shouldn't do it. But I really need to get those guys. Definitely do it. Yeah, you should do it. Joe, do you have any opinions of your own? Well, you're going to make people think I'm not racist, so just do whatever you want, man.
Joe, like I like to call him Joe. We can't call him that anymore, Biden. Like, I can't imagine how many times somebody's had to say, Joe, we don't call him that anymore. To him.
Oh, man. Keith, it's your turn to ask a question. Everybody tuning in, this is the Nitty Gritty interview comedy show. We ask people fucked up questions. We have funny conversations with people. Darcy is our first ever interviewee, and we need your help. Submit your questions right now. Make them good, make them interesting, and make them a little bit fucked up. It's the point of the show. Keith, your turn.
To stay in touch with the true nitty-gritty content here that I'm saying, let's get the nitty-gritty titty question out. Like, how many nudes have you sent that were recycled, if you have sent?
Ooh. Okay.
What do you mean recycled?
That's an onion.
Recycled, like, okay, this was, like, I took this picture from my last boyfriend, but it looks fire, so I'm still going to send it to next person, the sequel.
This is funny.
I'll recycle a nude to, like, a hookup, but, like, if I respect and appreciate, like, not even a boyfriend, but if I legitimately respect and appreciate the person and enjoy them, like, and I'm into them, I'm not gonna recycle shit from some piece of shit that I fucked in the past, you know?
That is...
bad vibes.
Yep. That's a good answer. You get a clap for that. That's the right answer. You can't be sending recycled nudes to somebody you've been dating for a month. First of all, if they haven't all seen them all by now, what are you doing? It's not
fun.
That's the worst
person you've ever been with.
You used them all. You got to take new ones. New ones for relationships. Old ones for Tinder. I like it.
And I mean, I take, like, I've done sex tapes with guys, so like, they have that. They can. That's all the angles they fucking need. Like,
they got the live action.
There was this one of my ex-girlfriends sent me one of those sexy videos, and it after we broke up, it took me probably 3 years to get rid of it.
You got rid of it like an amateur?
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it was just on my phone, and it was moving from phone to phone for a few years, and I'm like, I gotta delete this. This is unhealthy that I still have this.
It's like, why do I have this? This is 4 years old.
Okay, well, I am a media and like text hoarder, so I can't even speak to that. But I'll delete like my exes and shit most of the time, but excuse me. I have
unless
like
there's some shit you can use against them in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think like that, but hey, that's a good thought.
You know, long game works.
Who?
We got a question for you, Darcy, from the what are we, Keith? What are we calling the listeners when they submit a question? We say we got a question from the. What's coming to you? The nitty titties. The gritty titties. The gritties.
The titty committee. Or gritty
the
committee.
Nitty gritty titty committee.
Nitty gritty titty committee.
Yeah, I like
it. So they're like nitty gritty titty comedians.
Oh. Look at showing up the comedians. Baffled.
Keith, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not half chub, I'm not three quarters chub, I'm 110% chub.
You're
over that
full,
name.
Almost full flags there. Not half man.
The nitty gritty titty comedians.
Beautiful.
Wow. It really paints a picture of the type
it
of
it sure does.
That...
and
fantastic.
I think it paints an accurate one, may I just say.
Accuracy is key in comedy. I mean, it can be ridiculous, but as long as it's accurate, that hits. And that hits right on the titty. So, I mean, we got to roll with that.
All right, we're
right
going
on
to
the
nitty gritty titty comedians for the first ever question for our first ever interviewee. It's coming from Brent Raz. Let's do it. Play. Hold on. Play.
Many angles from the dick pic. Many angles.
See, that's the question that I was going to raise. Like, how many angles can you take a dick pic from and it be original still? I mean, three? Four?
Well,
there's only one way to do it, but I'll say it after Darcy.
Is he asking how many angles there are? Or
he's asking, like, what is the correct angle to take a dick pic? I know because I'm on Grindr. Well, I'm not on it anymore, but, you know, I was. You know, growing up, being into guys and stuff, you got to figure out how to take a dick pic. You see good dick pics, you see bad dick pics, and you figure out there's only one way to take them. Darcy, do you know what it is?
I can't think of the way, like, I can't think of a specific way that you might be thinking of, but I know that I love dick pics that just, like, the guy, like, it's literally just, like,
bam, here it is.
Hard as fuck, just, like, bounce, like, up. Like,
erect penis.
Yes. What angle? Where is the camera looking at the penis, taking the picture?
It's not just the penis. It's like some of the guy around it too.
Mm-hmm.
And
can't just have the penis. It's weird. It doesn't look good on its own. It's got to be part of the package.
Like going towards the stomach, you know.
Package.
The answer.
Like you tucked up a boner.
Keith, the answer for everybody in here is from underneath. A little bit. So not
underneath?
Not standing up. Sitting down in a chair. Lean back a little bit. Sitting down in the chair. And then use your phone and take a picture of you in a mirror from that angle. Legs spread. You get the balls, you get the penis, and you get the whole package. You get exactly what that guy looks like. That's how you do it.
And you got a cigar in your mouth.
That's not what you should do.
Oh. I don't know. I've been trying to figure out a way to take a tasteful dick pic for years. Like, something that you see that you would call art.
Why don't you get wine and put it in a wine glass and hold the wine glass between your middle and pointer fingers and get naked and cross your legs in a chair and then take the photo.
That is actually really close. That's kind of close to what I have, that I've came up with. But I'm kind of just using my dick as a towel rack just to hold it up. If there's no dick in the picture, period. It's just suggested penis. So I feel like that's tasteful. And it's like something that you would see in an artsy book.
I think you're right. I think you are right.
Keith, I'm going to send as you a woman, somebody else's dick pic from Reddit. And I'm going to be like, this is what I mean. And you're going to say, oh, I get it.
Oh, look, this is a masterclass in dick taking. Like dick pic taken.
Welcome to the Nitty Gritty interview show, the master class for dick pic taken.
I mean, you never know what skills you can pick up from complete strangers on the internet.
Seriously. It's a great way. Stereo is now really teaching quality fucking material.
I mean, this is the stuff that matters. I mean,
thank you.
Fuck the homeless problem, but we've got a masturbating telemarketer here and two sociopaths.
Telemarketer, the masturbating court proceedings person.
Oh my god! It's like I just imagine if he goes harder, like the harder the conviction, like he gets live. I'm gonna come four times. That's amazing. It's like, oh, what? One week in counting. She's like,
Some days I feel really fucked up. Like, if I do it during, a hearing for, some bad shit, and then, I come, and then I'm done, and I'm like, oh, Darcy, what are you doing, man?
That is how every guy feels after watching porn when they finish. They're like, why? How did we get here? I am ashamed of myself. This is not who I am as a person. It's not a good representation of me. I'm a monster.
I feel that.
Keith is like a post. Is like a hockey player doing an interview with ESPN after the game. It's like, you know, we could have done better. I'm ashamed.
We're better than this. I don't want.
That's accurate. That's so funny.
This is not a reflection of my values or core in any way. Just a little bit of a monster trying to escape me.
You know, the porn won today. They're a good team. You know, they have been all year. So,
the who?
All right, Darcy, I got a question for you. Then, wait, Keith, is it your turn or mine?
I think that I asked the recycled nudes. So, think it goes to you this time.
Oh no, that was actually the Brent dude. So who asked that? So Keith, it's really you.
Oh, okay. Shoot. Damn. Not many things I've not asked women. I've been pretty brave or stupid one.
Imagine she's a dude then.
Yeah. Do that. Or ask me a question about dudes, or I don't know.
What is the worst thing you've ever done to get revenge on an ex?
What?
I said the worst thing that she's done to get revenge on an ex.
Oh,
I don't really get. Okay. I don't really get revenge like that. Like,
I just
fucked up. Like my ex started sleeping around like with a bunch of women. I knew like he, I found out that he did it while he was with me too. But and I just fucked up his hooking up. Like I just
cock blocked him.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you cock?
That's really like, I mean, I also one time I completely catfished somebody with my best friend, and like literally got these people to wander around the mall looking for a girl. But
that's hilarious.
Get revenge like that. Like I just talk to the person, say whatever the fuck I'm thinking about them, and kind of be on my way.
Oh, so you're just an asshole and then cut things off on your terms. I like that.
Yeah.
I know some spiteful women. You are a heaven sin.
Yeah, my current, he's not a boyfriend. But he calls me Dangerous Darcy. Because
he calls you Dangerous Darcy?
I have a dangerous side. But he also says I'm very pure and kind. But he goes, but then you have a deceptive side.
Oh, I mean, that's like my girlfriend.
Side. You're watching court proceedings. Who knows? <what this was?
laughs> You're listening to like some of the most getting, important you know, season.
Getting so off to smart. The... Getting off to, you know, the DUIs and different arraignments. Fucking, you know.
I can't even come unless it's the fourth
Somebody just gave up custody of their kid, and I'm just like,
bad parents, yes. I love it.
Literally, like, one time right after I came, like, I snapped back into work, and on the hearing, they're like, you're putting your child's life above yours, and we just have to commend you for that. And I was like, I am such a bad person.
Yeah, that's the after cum guilt. We all have it. Like, you know,
yeah.
Nobody's ever nice. Like, no dude is ever nicer to any chick than after he comes on their face and realizes he's a monster.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to have post-nut clarity just to be complimented by my boss. For something not having to say with the post-nut clarity. Just like in that moment, hearing that. That's hilarious.
What is post-nut clarity? Is that where you realize that you are desensitized to a certain, like such a degree that you've almost become a monster in what you take in, like pornographically? Or is it just like, okay, I'm all right with this?
It's that post-nut clarity is just like it's a funny phrase for an actual thing that science figured out, which is like as soon as you come you lose the ability to rationally think for about a second or two, or is it like 3 seconds? You physically are not thinking. It is the most empty your brain will ever be, even on drugs, even on anything. So as you come, you're technically not thinking of anything. Say somebody wanted to kill you in that moment, you wouldn't even respond. You can't think.
So I just got to finish somebody if they're ever trying to kill me.
So as soon as that ends, you have a rush of whatever it is, of electricity in your brain, whatever that connection is, I forget. Is it neurons? Mm. Yeah, your neurons go on full blast as soon as you're done humming.
The dopamine, your dopamine receptors are flooded by serotonin and dopamine pretty much. And then you're in a state of this retarded bliss. So what you're saying is if anybody tries to murder me, I need to make sure I finish them first.
Yeah, because then exactly. You can defend yourself. Exactly. Your brain is firing on all cylinders afterwards. Because it's kind of like a sudden rush back to thought. So, like, you're thinking even better than you were before it.
So I'm going to get murdered.
We call it post-nut clarity. I don't know what the scientific word is for it.
It's a cum dump.
Does it happen with girls, too?
Yeah.
Got to.
Although your orgasms are way longer and more intense. So it's probably longer than 3 seconds.
I equate, like, men versus women orgasms as, like, guys, whenever we come, it's like a guitar solo. Women, they get the whole orchestral section.
I like that a lot. That is a great metaphor.
It's bullshit good. Is what it is. I want half of the like orchestra. No. What my pleasure is like sneezing is apparently 1/16th of an orgasm for us, but no, you guys get a whole Mozart album. It's bullshit.
Well, you exactly. Have stuff that comes out of you, okay? So
hey, so do some girls.
I mean, like, we have cum and, like, get all wet and shit, but we don't have something that, like, ejects. Well, I guess some girls squirt.
Walk around with an open wound.
What?
You're walking around with an open wound.
Honestly, that's basically accurate.
I hate, accuracy in comedy. Oh, I just did snaps. Shit.
Okay, oh, they have an open wound, but at least it can't get chopped off and you'd immediately die.
That's right. Well, that's true. You're right.
Will you? What if you have a micro penis?
Doesn't matter. You get your dick chopped off, you die in like, what is it, like a minute? It's like an insanely quick death from blood loss.
Definite ego death.
It's definitely an ego that dies.
I mean, you might not die from it physically, but mentally, you're going to be dead for the foreseeable future. I mean,
no, you die. You die physically. Like,
yeah,
like
you do. I just looked it up. Somebody was like, hey, will I die if I chop my penis off? And somebody said yes.
I feel like that was just a good Samaritan, yes. Like, just chiming in, being like, hey, bro, don't cut your dick off.
Nah, there's a bunch of, if you Google this shit, there's actually so many stories about police say a woman cut off her husband's penis led to Lorena death. Bobbitt. Broxton man dies after genital cut off.
Jesus, this you bleed is to death.
I know.
Problem.
Man 19 years old almost dies after cutting off his genitals. Why are people cutting off their genitals?
The number one thing I can think of is abusive household and the person's transsexual and they don't have the money to get the operation done. And so maybe in a moment of desperation, they go for it. I don't know. A lot of self-hatred in the world, I can imagine. Also, like, hey, what if you came too early and you lost your crush and you're just really angry at your dick?
Well, you're the body.
So you cut it off.
Cut it off, yeah. I don't need this thing anymore. I want to run fast.
Body integrity identity disorder. It's like when you hate a part of your body so much that you feel like it's causing all the problems in your life.
Really?
Which is accurate about the penis.
Oh, shit, yeah, man. I mean, my dick has got me in more shit, and not talking anal, than anything in my life.
I bet that's accurate for some guys.
It definitely doesn't take getting stoned one time for you to look down at your dick and be like, this is technically every bad thing that's happened to me.
Yeah. Like, this it's the whole embodiment of it.
This is the source. I love that. Is so funny.
That's my new nickname for my dick is the source. The source of what? Pain, agony, pleasure. It's the source.
It's just the source. Yeah,
it's caused me such a spectrum of emotions over these years that, you know, I can't really equate it to either being good or bad. It's just a neutral cog. It's just there and ruins my life sometimes and it makes me happy sometimes. I just gotta live with it.
It's just a neutral cock. I love that.
I mean, there's no higher function going on up there, like in his brain.
I can imagine somebody from Kentucky saying, my dick's not racist.
Elijah's house. Oh, fuck, a watermelon.
Oh my god.
And scene.
That's funny.
Full circle. That was fantastic.
I've been wanting to try to touch on that since the beginning, but couldn't find a fucking segue. There it was.
You did it.
I can sleep well tonight.
Everybody, that was, we started at 12:30. That's the hour. Keith, this has been a great episode. First inaugural episode of Nitty Gritty. Darcy, thank you so much for being the first ever interviewee of the Nitty Gritty Comedy Interview Show.
Yeah,
no Darcy, problem. I had a good fucking time.
We couldn't have asked for a better guest, period.
You were perfect. Oh, well, we followed you. Make sure that you follow us. If you're feeling generous, everybody in the audience, we would love it if you were to subscribe to us. Me and Keith are both working comedians. We do this. We want this to be our job, and we can't do it without you guys. So if we did entertain you guys, if you guys had a good time listening to this, make sure that you not only follow, but hit that subscribe button. It's cheap, and it goes to a good cause. It goes to us being able to, you know, eat food that's not just Fritos
or ramen. You know, it helps sustain our, like, we need brain fuel, because obviously this eyebrow stuff that we come up with takes a lot of higher function, you know, like titty jokes and masturbation stuff. So I mean, you know, it's feed a starving artist.
It helps fuel your brain.
Do people think this shit brain is easy? Fuel. These dick and titty jokes? You think this didn't take years?
Of emotional trauma to come out with a sense of humor like this?
Nobody appreciates it.
Oh,
I got no respect.
That's exactly where I was getting ready to head. Dangerfield zone. But damn, well, I guess this is us signing off. Darcy, follow us on Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. It was awesome meeting you.
No problem. Thank you for being such a good contributor and so honest.
No problem.
All right, Darcy, have an awesome rest of your day. And yeah, actually, follow us on, definitely follow us on Instagram too. That would be pretty huge, especially you, Darcy. We would love for you to interact with us online. You're actually very cool. This was a great time.
Yeah, it was. All right. I'll see you guys.
All right.
See you later.
All right, Keith.